The reading is from Psalm 121, which is on page 622. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's great to be back here again. I looked back in my diary and see it was October last year that I was here preaching on the book of Ephesians. I suspect that those intervening months have been enough for you to recover from the trauma of my first appearance. And it's great to be here to start your summer sermon series on the book of Psalms. Now, it's a bit of a shame that you don't start your service slightly later in the day, because otherwise we could have had a psalm enchanted evening. The jokes do get worse. But as we come this evening, or this afternoon, to Psalm 121, perhaps you'd like to have that open in the Bibles on your chairs. It's on page 622, as we begin to look and unpack this psalm together. As we begin, I just want to ask you a question. Have you ever been on a pilgrimage? Have you been on a pilgrimage to a holy place? Perhaps you may have been to Jerusalem to visit some of the notable sites. Or maybe to Santiago de Compostela, walking the pilgrim's way there, or many other places that Christians will visit as part of their faith journey. Now, I've not done any of those, and I think for modern Christians, pilgrimage doesn't really occupy the importance that it used to. In the Middle Ages, pilgrimages to cathedrals were a regular event. Think of Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, written in the context of a pilgrimage to Canterbury, and the stories told by people on the way. And for other faith groups, particularly Muslims, pilgrimages are still a central part of their faith. But even if you've not been on a pilgrimage, I guess most of us will have taken part in a walk of witness on Good Friday. Or if you're old enough, on one of the marches for Jesus that were a regular feature of the night of the 1980s, early 1990s. And one feature of a pilgrimage or walk of witness or a march is music. Hymns and choruses are often sung along parts of the journey. So it is in Egham on Good Friday. We proceed down the high street and we sing hymns like There Is a Green Hill Far Away or Sacred Head War Sore Wounded. On marches for Jesus, it was obligatory. There was an ancient charter that you had to sing Make Way, Make Way, and at least 10 other choruses by Graham Kendrick. But music and pilgrimage isn't just a modern phenomena, or even back to the Middle Ages. It has ancient roots. For Jews in the time of the Old Testament, regular pilgrimages to Jerusalem were part of their faith journey. 3 times a year, at the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Israelites would make a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem as commanded by the pages of the Torah. And there in Jerusalem, they would participate in the festivities and worship at the temple. These regular pilgrimages by the Jewish people continued up until the destruction of the temple by the Romans. Indeed, if you think about it, in the New Testament, there are several references to those types of pilgrimage. In Luke 2, we read every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, Jesus too went up to the festival according to the custom. In the book of Acts, we read how people from around the Mediterranean had come to Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. Pilgrimages to Jerusalem were a regular feature of life. And large groups of people would travel together. It wasn't a solitary journey. Villages and communities together would make their way to Jerusalem. And the journey itself would have been long and arduous. There were no well-tarmacked roads, no air-conditioned coaches. And depending on the time of year, they'd have had to contend with the dust, heat and humidity of the Middle Eastern summer, maybe sleep out in the open, face the hazards of rocks and stony paths, the dangers of bandits and wild animals. And to keep their spirits up during these journeys, musicians from the synagogues would have sung psalms, psalms to help them on their journey. And one of the groups of psalms in particular are associated with this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. If you look at the top of Psalm 121, you'll see it's a song of ascents. And the Psalms from 120 to 134 are traditionally associated with regular pilgrimages to Jerusalem, the Psalms that particularly would have been used at that time of pilgrimage as the people made their way up to the temple in Jerusalem. And today we're going to look at one of those psalms, Psalm 121. So for a moment, I want you to imagine that you're tired, walking for miles, you're hot and thirsty. The dust of the day is covering you. And there, through the haze in the distance, you can see the hills ascending to Mount Zion, to the city of Jerusalem. And maybe you long for the journey to be over, to be in the temple. But you know, you still have a long and hard trek ahead of you. And you begin to wonder, are we ever going to get there? Are we ever going to get there? Will this heat never end? Will my feet stop being sore? As you begin to think that, you hear the psalms sung. Musicians take up these words. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is a psalm of encouragement for the weary pilgrim. A psalm of encouragement for those who feel that there's no end to the journey. A psalm that assures us that no matter where we are on life's journey, the Lord is the one who watches over us and protects us. And so this afternoon we're going to look at these themes, maybe apply the psalm to our own lives, and ask where can these words bring us encouragement and assurance in our walk with God. So if you look with me at verses 1 and 2, the psalmist begins with these words. I lift my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where do you look when you're tired and weary? Where do you look when you feel the pressures of the world around you? Things getting on top of you. Where do you look? We could navel gaze, look into ourselves and start to feel self-pity. Maybe we just keep our heads down, looking at our feet, preoccupied with our own thoughts. But that way leads to despair. The despair, I don't know if anybody ever read any of Douglas Adams' books. It's something he describes as the shoe event horizon. And he puts it like this. In a recession, or if you're feeling down, the world seems depressing. And all you do is you look down at your shoes. And you think, I know what I'll do to cheer myself up. I'll buy myself a new pair of shoes. And in a downturn, everybody starts doing the same. So shoemakers have to make more and more shoes and more shoe shops open. As more and more shoe shops open, people buy more shoes. And the manufacturers start to make more and more shoes and they get shoddier and shoddier. They hurt, they pinch the feet. They fall together more quickly. So you have to buy even more shoes. In order to get people to buy shoes, everybody makes massive capital investments to buy more and more shoe shops. And this is the point known as the shoe event horizon. Shoe shops outnumber every other kind of shop. It's impossible to build anything else other than a shoe shop. Every shop in the world ends up a shoe shop full of shoes that nobody wants to buy, and the result is economic catastrophe. Now that's an over-exaggeration. But it reminds us that we become so preoccupied with our own problems, maybe with the problems of the world around us, that our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions can spiral downwards into a fugue of self-pity, or feelings of hopelessness, or feelings that nobody cares, or that God isn't there. Where do you look when you're tired and weary, or you feel the pressures of the world around you? The psalmist tells us that we need to look up. The psalmist looked up and saw the mountain. They lifted his spirits and pointed him towards God. Now, I'm sure most of us have walked in mountain areas. And if you've done so, and you've seen the grandeur of the mountains, it can be an awe-inspiring experience. But even looking up at a mountain doesn't necessarily point us to God. A geologist could look at a mountain and be inspired by the tectonic plate movements that cause this mountain to be thrust up out of the earth. A rock climber might look at the mountains and think of the challenge of climbing the steep slopes, working out the best route to get to the summit. An astronomer might look to the mountain and think, what a wonderful place to build an observatory. But the psalmist looks beyond earthly things and is reminded of the creator of heaven and earth, reminded of the God who created it. And this is a common theme in the Psalms. I think last year you had a summer series on Psalms as well. As you begin to look through the Psalms, you begin to see how creation points people to God. One of my favourite Psalms is Psalm 8. The psalmist says this, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them?" Now, I think those are verses that we find it very difficult to appreciate living in the outskirts of London with all the light pollution. I remember visiting Africa as part of my ordination training, staying in the remote countryside there, no street lights. The only thing were flickering candles from the houses around. But going out at night and just seeing the magnificence of this creation. You can actually see the Milky Way and the colour in it. Something which, you know, in Windsor and Egham, you'll never see. But it reminds us of how great and majestic and wonderful our God is. And looking up and remembering how magnificent God is, remembering that he's greater than all of our problems, it puts our concerns into perspective. It reminds us that God is the one who is great and mighty. He is the one who can be trusted. He is the one who cares. When you're tired and weary, when things get on top of you, when you're beleaguered, to whom do you look for help? Where is your gaze focused? A friend of mine was a very high-powered corporate lawyer at a major city law firm. And her responsibility was drafting and negotiating international finance deals, dealing with millions to billions of pounds worth of transactions. It was a demanding and potentially stressful job. And on her desk, she kept the opening words of Psalm 121. Whenever the pressure told, you know, the clients were phoning her up at 2 a.m, or you had everybody phoning, people coming into the office, she would read these words: I lift my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And it would center her life back on God and his help and his protection. In life's journey, on our own pilgrimages, are we looking up to the mountain? Are we looking up and seeing the might and majesty of God? Are we being reminded that he is our help, that he is greater than all our problems and all our concerns? I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The psalmist has sung that he looks up to the mountains. He's inspired by God and his help. You'll say to me, but Michael, how does God help us? How are we helped? Well, let's look at some of these things and the responses that come in verses 3 to 8 of this psalm. And if you look, it is almost like a dialogue. The first two verses are in the first person. I lift my eyes. Where does my help come from? And the response comes maybe from the rabbi that was travelling with the pilgrim party, or other musicians singing a response. And it switches into the third person. He will not let you stumble. He will watch over you. So the response, how does God help us, comes in verses 3 to 8. And the first thing that I want to say is that we're told that God is our guardian. Look at how many times the psalmist says that God watches over us in those 5 verses. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. 5 times we're told that God watches over our lives. He doesn't say, oh, I'm off now for a coffee break. Michael, are you all right on your own now for a few minutes while I go and put my feet up? God is the ever-present guardian of our lives, both now and for eternity. He doesn't take a break. He watches over us. We can be assured that God's love, God's mercy, God's care for us are never ceasing. And that word for watchers is the word used of a shepherd watching over his sheep and protecting them. God is the shepherd of our lives, the one who watches over us. Again, as the psalmist reminds us elsewhere, and as we sung this afternoon, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I used to think that meant that I didn't want the shepherd. It actually means, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not need for anything. The shepherd will provide for us. God's love, God's care, God's protection are provided by him. And they're seen supremely in Jesus Christ, aren't they? John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And this care, this watching, is taken up by these words of Jesus in John 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The one who watches over us has us firmly in his grasp. We can be assured that God is our guardian, God is our shepherd, that we are his treasured possession. And it doesn't matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter how we are feeling, no matter what is happening to our lives, no matter whether we feel that God is close by or far away, God is with us. He is watching over us. He is our guardian. He is our shepherd. He is the one who cares for us. So the first thing that the psalmist says of God's help is that he is our shepherd, he is our guardian. But also, he is our spiritual protector. Again, reading through verses 3 to 8, we read these words. He will not let your foot slip. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now those risks of slipping, of sunstroke, have been affected by the moon. We're all a constant danger for pilgrims heading towards Jerusalem. And these words were a reminder that God would help the pilgrims on their journey, that they would make it to their ultimate destination. God would be their protector. But it's a metaphor for the protection that God provides for each one of us. Now it's important to note that the psalmist is not saying that bad things are wiped out, they don't ever happen. He's not saying that. Because we all know that people get sick, that wars happen, that Christians are attacked, that we get depressed. But rather the psalmist is saying that in the midst of the dangers, God is our protector. He is the one holding on to us and bearing us up through those times. Perhaps an example might help. I used to help run holiday camps when I was at university. We used to take children from inner city Bermondsey away to the countryside for a week. Looking back on it now, it seems like absolute madness. We would take them to Wales or the Lake District or other remote places and just let them run riot. And boy, did they know how to run riot. And one of these holidays, we took the kids walking over the Lakeland Fells. And the minibus had dropped us off and we were going to walk up the side of one of the fells and down back to the centre where we were staying. What we hadn't noticed is that the slope down was rather steep and full of loose stones. The kids were at risk of stumbling and falling down this fell. I could see they were starting to get a bit agitated. So I said to the kids who were close by to me, hold on to my hand. Now, of course, they reached out their hands, but it was me that was holding on to them. We descended the slope. It didn't mean that the kids stopped tripping or stumbling on some of the stones, but when they did so, they were not harmed. I was there to hold them and to keep them safe, to get them to the end of the journey. For the pilgrims heading to Jerusalem, they would have had their scrapes. They would have been affected by the sun. They'd have tripped on the rocks. Their feet would have been sore. They're thirsty. But they knew that nothing could keep them from being in God's presence. Spiritually, their destination was secure. It's interesting that those words, he will not let your foot slip. Whenever those words are used elsewhere in the Bible, it's not actually saying physically, you're not ever going to trip over. It's not the promise of the absence of pain or the promise that you will never fail. Those words, he will not let your foot slip, are used figuratively for someone who's perhaps being overcome by sin or weakness or enemy oppression. When the psalmist declares, therefore, he will not allow your foot to slip, he's not saying, you know, everything's going to be cushy, nothing's bad's going to happen to you. But he is promising that amidst all of that, God will remain there upholding you. Not because of your own strength, but because of the preserving hand of God. God is the God who watches over us and protects us. God is the one who will bring us safely home to our ultimate destination, to our home in heaven. All of us are on a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage, a journey to our heavenly home when we will be with God. And yes, on that journey we're going to face problems and difficulties. It might be sickness or ill health. It might be persecution. It might just be the stress of the world around us, dealing with kids or family, or pressures at work or redundancy. Psalm 121 is a pilgrim song, just as much for each one of us as it was for the people of Israel. He reminds us that we need to look up to the heights of God when the journey is tough, to remember that he is greater than anything that the world can throw at us. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what is happening to us, God is watching over us. God is protecting us. And as each one of us travels on that pilgrimage as the people of God, is that not a wonderful song to hold in each of our hearts? Amen.